Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Let's roll. Know who's rolling is the Minnesota Wild. And Matt Boldy. It's been a good run. And, you know, we were talking about weather, better places to be than Minnesota right now. And one of those guys is in a better place. That's Joe Smith from The Athletic. He joins us right now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Mr. Smith goes to Vegas. Are you already in Vegas, Mr. Smith?
Absolutely. Good talking to you guys. Got in here yesterday, early afternoon from Denver. So, yes, I heard the blizzard on your rate on your weather report before that. I'm glad I'm here at least for a few more days.
Sounds good. Before we get into the Wild, are you a gambler, and what games do you or don't you play?
First of all, I'm not a good gambler, I have fun with it. My wife's on the trip too, and she's more roulette. I'll play some roulette, play some blackjack, but mostly I'm good at the sport book stuff. You know, I just like to make a few bets and stuff, like the college hoops this weekend, and then watch some sports. So yeah, like I told Jared Spurgeon today, I don't have enough money to be a good gambler. So one of those things.
There you go. Here's a question: do you bet on? Have you bet on the Wild ever?
No, I don't. I don't bet on, you know,
teams you cover.
I don't bet on the National Hockey League even. I really don't. The only time I really kind of bet is when I go to like Vegas, or if there's like the NCAA March Madness tournament, filling up bracket or something like that.
Yep.
But yeah, I think if anybody who's been betting the Wild the last month and a half or so has been doing pretty well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's move into that. They had a huge win against Colorado the other night, and there was a playoff feel even on TV. The intensity of the game looked that way. And I expect that feel and intensity to carry over to Vegas tomorrow night, since Vegas is in the top spot in the division or in the conference.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, everybody's so close, bunched up in the standings where every point matters. And this will be a home and home. They play Saturday, and then they play Monday against Vegas. And that's a pretty big swing there. Wild only 1 point behind them for the top spot in the Western Conference. The Avalanche, who have a pretty favorable schedule coming up, are right behind them. So, you know, this will be a big game for Marc-Andre Fleury too. You know, return to Vegas where he is beloved. And the last time they played Vegas, they lost 5-1 at home, and that kind of helped start the streak, because they had a team meeting after that and kind of they took off from there.
Talk about the dynamics. You mentioned talking to Jared Spurgeon, especially when you're on a road trip, you're around the players. They've got a good spring in their step, but this streak that they're on, even without Kaprizov, says to me that there's a vibe or a chemistry here that they really like each other, and they like this. It's a good locker room.
Oh, it definitely. They're like, I think yesterday, you know, Fleury hooked them all, a lot of the guys up with like dune buggies, you know, kind of like the dirt bikes.
Yeah,
so they all went out, like a lot of them went out there and did that and had some lunch together. And, you know, there's a lot of bonding trips on the road in Vegas, but I think they're just a really close group. They play for each other. You know, everybody has an ego, but it seems like guys play such a team concept, and you know, not just one leader like Spurgeon, who's obviously the captain, but like alpha personality like Ryan Reeves has really helped. Marc-Andre Fleury's experience has helped. But even before the winning streak, I felt like they had that kind of close, tight-knit group. And so I think when you get going through tough, difficult circumstances, makes you closer, and then obviously you can enjoy yourself a lot more when things are going well.
I'm talking to Joe Smith. He writes for The Athletic. He follows the Wild and covers them. He's currently in Vegas, where the Wild play the Golden Knights tomorrow night. You wrote about Matt Boldy. He's been on a streak, especially since Kaprizov went down hurt. But, you know, he also had just gotten that new contract. And Billy Guerin said, basically, he's a big piece of the future of this franchise. A breakout like this is, you know, it's not just good for the team, but the whole country notices. What's his personality? What's he like? Because he's still pretty young.
He's still only 21 years old. He turned 22 in a few days. It's unbelievable to think, you know, $49 million as a 21-year-old. That's pretty amazing. But he's a really humble kid, comes from a good family. The guys love him in the room. Like, he's very – anytime you talk to him, he's always about his teammates or his line mates. And I enjoy doing this story on him today in The Athletic because I talked to a lot of the guys that are his best friends and teammates from National Development Program in Michigan and from Boston College and all the things that – just asking the people, does he do anything wrong? Does he do anything badly? Like, he seems like a great golfer. He's great hockey, like everything else. And it's fun to go behind the scenes and ask them just to kind of his personality. Like, he loves ice cream and sweets and bad dancer and like just fun stuff off the ice. Cause I think people get to know him a little bit, you know, through those kind of stories. But yeah, overall the teammates, you know, really, really like him. And he's kind of a guy that pretty soft spoken, but once you get to know him, he kind of opens up a bit.
You know, you bring up the National Development Team and the National Development Program. I follow hockey closer than any other sport, and obviously understand that and have been to Plymouth, Michigan. But as you think about the maturing and the development, you said he's only 21, but he went to the national program. That means he was away from home at a young age. There's a certain kind of process in hockey, and I don't know what other sports you've covered as closely, but talk about what those – kids, because they were kids when they were together at the National Development Program, what they said about what Matt Boldy was like years ago.
Well, first of all, they saw the talent right away. Like, some of these guys grew up with him playing when he was like in Boston area as a kid, and he would score 4 or 5 goals a game. Like, the guys had legit talent for a long time, but they just talked about what a great teammate and such a humble person he was. You know, and I guess one of the jokes in the story was that, you know, he loved the ice cream, Ben and Jerry's ice cream bar so much at Cole Caulfield's billet house that they took a picture of his face and put it on the front of so they called them Boldy bars, you know. Like, but he's just kind of one of those guys that has like a really fun personality, and those years, like you mentioned, like your high school kid, you go away and the family atmosphere there, they have a little bit of billet families, so they're off on their own, but they also have a strong family network around them that can kind of, and those teammates, the Zegresses and the Caulfields and the Spencer Knights, and they all become like really close, like family, because they're going through that same thing together. They're going through the high pressure stakes. They're playing for the World Juniors, which they won. They won gold in a few years back. So they go through the highs and lows together, where when they come to the National Hockey League and play pro, they've kind of been through some of the ringers before. So, but you often forget, just looking at some pictures that they sent me from that program, like how young the guy actually is.
Right. Yeah, no, I have a son who plays juniors in Fairbanks, Alaska. So the whole billet thing is another day for another topic, but it is a family network. They become families. You call them your billet mom, your billet dad, etc. And the funny thing is, when I saw your headline today and I saw Boldy bars, I was like, well, he's not, I mean, he's 21. Like, he hasn't been a bar.
Yeah.
And then I learned what you meant by Boldy bars, because my immediate thing was he's known for going to the bar or something like that. And no, it's ice cream. It's much more innocent.
It's only been a year, yeah. I guess the stories of the youth are a little different nowadays versus the maybe 30 years ago if you did a story on a 22-year-old winger, I guess, from somewhere, right? So
exactly. Where do you see this streak? Where do they – I mean, obviously they have a lot of confidence. Billy Guerin made some moves at the trade deadline. Are there places other – you know, injuries is always a factor in hockey. Are there places where they may be kind of overperforming right now? And you know, people are just kind of playing out of their mind, in a different way that they're going to have to keep going into the playoffs.
Well, I don't think they're shooting at a really high clip as far as shooting percentage. So I don't think they're going to necessarily regress in that point of view. I don't think Ryan Reeves is going to score 3 goals every 5 games, right?
Right.
And Boldy won't have 15 points every 11 games, right? But I think what the injury to Kaprizov really did was he was such a huge factor, MVP candidate, that they kind of relied on him so much. Now it kind of force everybody else to be like, hey, we can contribute too. We can step out of our comfort zone and make plays. And I think it'll be a much more well-rounded team offensively when he returns because of guys, well, Boldy's coming through. Marcus Johansson's been a great fit on the line with Boldy. You know, the Foligno's playing on the top line now, but they have, you know, Freddie Goudreau's been playing terrific. So I think first and foremost, it starts with their goaltending, and the goaltending has been, I think, they're third in goals against
Yep.
For the whole entire league this year, which if you ask me that after the first three games of the season, they gave up 20, people would probably shake their heads, right? So I think the goaltending has helped them maybe steal some games on this streak that they may not have ordinarily won. But I think that the way that they've won these games, whether it's from defensive shutting things down when they need to, or getting superb goaltending or penalty kill, like in Colorado when they were under siege the third period, or different guys stepping up and scoring, that's a trademark of a good team that can win in a playoff situation, which is why it'll be interesting to see what happens in 3 weeks when they hope Kaprizov is back and they're fully healthy and can try to get out of this situation where they've been stuck not winning in the first round.
Hey, Joe Smith, thanks for joining me. Good luck in Vegas on your bets. Be safe, and we'll see you down the line.
Sounds great. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend. Stay safe.
Joe Smith from The Athletic talking to The Wild. Hey, Henry Lake's going to be up next, and then the T-Wolves play the Lakers in a big game here in Minneapolis. If you're on your way to the game, you're getting down there, make sure you're loud for the Wolves tonight. Henry will be on, and then we'll have Wolves pregame and the game right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm Blaise Olson in for Jason. A report in from Henderson, Minnesota. White coming down is 6 millimeter hail with thunder and lightning. Again, things we don't need to describe to understand. We'll be right back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.